Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. If you've been listening, I had a great interview back and forth with Jenna Ellis. I was very pleased to be on her program as we talked about cultural Christianity. And cultural Christianity is good for the culture. Obviously, we were talking about Richard Dawkins saying that he likes cultural Christianity and he'd choose Christianity, although he doesn't believe any of it, and he doesn't want anybody else to believe any of it, but he likes the benefits of it. And he's starting to see with all the building of the mosques and the UK getting overrun with Muslims that that's fundamentally different than Christianity. And that's, you know, Islam is the religion of the sword. It's smash mouth religion. It's believe or die. It's always been like that. You study the life of Muhammad and that's what you'll find. Christianity is not like that at all. And he's starting to see, I've spent a lifetime trying to destroy this and now I don't like the results. But today on the program, we want to talk about, as Jenna said, you know, it's not cultural Christianity, it's true Christianity, it's real Christianity, and what are Christians supposed to do? We're not just supposed to create an environment where the world becomes a better place for people to go to hell from. We want people to come to know the Lord in a real and personal way, in a life-changing way. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples in Galilee. Jesus came up and spoke to them. Well, backing up, Matthew 28:16. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. We don't know exactly which mountain that is. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, because he's God, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We teach them about the triune God. We baptize them in the name of the triune God, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission, to go and share, to shine and share, as we use on this program and in my church. We live out the Christian life before the people, and we tell them about the Lord who has changed our lives. Well, I have in the studio today one of my dearest friends. He's been my best friend since probably seventh grade. And Mike Lurch, he just got back. He lives in Georgetown, Texas, and he's an elder in his church there, and just got back from a mission trip, his second time to go to India. That's a long trip, and that's a daunting, I don't know if I could do that kind of trip. But he's gone there, and he's encouraged pastors and taught pastors and been there to be a blessing to the church there in India. And so, Mike, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be back.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Mike's been on the program a couple of different times, but we've never talked about your time in India. So you went 2 years ago and then just got back, what, a couple of weeks ago? A
couple of weeks ago got back. Yeah, I went 2 years ago, actually last year and then a couple of weeks ago.
So tell us what is for somebody that's never been out of the country, going to India is like going to a different world, I would imagine.
Literally is like going to a different world in terms of culture, in terms of travel, in terms of comfort, in terms of everything. Many of us, most of us, we're Americans, and we're accustomed to being the home team, if you will. We're not used to being the visitor.
Right.
And being the visitor is very humbling, and taught me a lot by going on a mission trip.
Yeah, very good. So you are going there. Your church is working with another church. This is a church you guys support?
Yeah, so it's actually an association of churches that was starting in West Bengal, which is eastern India by the foothills of the Himalayas. Beautiful, beautiful country. And this, you know, just a quick story of how these churches were started. It was a man was in the Indian Army in the 50s, and just talk about the power of gospel tracts, and he was on post, and he saw a tract on the ground and picked it up.
Oh, wow.
And read it, and came to Christ after he had attained a Bible, and the Holy Spirit moved him to repentance and asking Christ into his life, putting his faith in Christ. Then at that point, told him to go and to the different villages on foot and share the gospel in these villages. And as a result, they have now 40 churches in this association. It's 40 churches.
From that guy.
From that one man being obedient to the gospel. And it's just amazing. They're evangelical churches. I mean, they're very conservative and sound doctrine and just amazing. And they're on local mission, you know. So our mission specifically was a group of three of us. They have, within this association, they have retreat, and they have a conference. It's a three-day conference.
For pastors?
For pastors, elders, leaders, and for those that they have their eye on, that they're discipling. So it's a really neat way to help young men and even older men mature in the Lord. And so it's a three-day conference, and we are there. The title of the conference was Every Shepherd Needs a Shepherd, and to help them and guide them, walk through Paul and Timothy's relationship of discipling, and just equip them for the next ministry year.
So are they dealing with pretty much the same things we're dealing with in America, or are culturally things are way different there? So what are their big issues?
Yeah, their big issues, culturally, their biggest issue is within their families and within, you know, Hinduism is obviously the dominant religion there. But the thing is, what they have found is they're very evangelistic. What they have found is if they can win one person to Christ in the family, the whole family follows. And then when one family follows, then the village will follow at that point. But within all of that, there's severe persecution that happens as well.
Yeah.
For example, if a 17-year-old, which I heard stories of, comes to Christ, then he's kicked out of that family as a result of that. So it's just very eye-opening of the cost of following Christ, the real cost that Jesus talks about.
Right.
Consider the cost, where we don't necessarily have that in our country.
So as Jenna Ellis and I were talking about, cultural Christianity is not there in India.
Correct. It is not.
So do you know the makeup of Christians in India? Is it like...
Like 3-4%.
Okay. How about Islam? Is Islam making inroads there?
Yeah, it's making inroads there as well. But I think it's like 10-12%, depending on. But I mean, some towns, I can't think of the town exactly, but it's full 100% Christianity. Like that's the dominant religion in that place. But it's primarily Hinduism, and it's primarily driven by family loyalty and such as well.
Okay, what city were you in?
We flew into Siliguri, so it's 35 hours of total travel time of layovers and getting to destination and things of that nature. And you know, for those that have never been on a mission trip, this sounds overwhelming,
right?
And it is. And you know what? It forces me to now rely fully on God instead of talking about relying on God. This moves me more into full reliance.
Well, we had talked a little bit last night. You had gone on some shorter mission trips that were in South America?
Yeah, short mission trips in Nuevo Laredo, things like that, right across the border giving out Christmas boxes and things like that, sharing the love of Jesus that way, which is a wonderful mission trip.
Right. So this is a mission trip in all caps. When you go, you're on the plane for how long? 35 hours total.
35 hours total, but you know, even kind of backing up the story is with any mission trip, if it's across the street or across the globe, it needs to start with prayer, right? Uh-huh. So it needs to
for sure.
Needs to be bathed and surrounded in prayer and start with a mission team of supporters, which you were on that team, and that team is folks that will support you financially and support you prayerfully as well. Uh-huh. So that is, I cannot overstate how important that step is of identifying who you want to be on your team and then inviting them.
Right. You know, be a part of this.
Be a part of the team.
Right.
And they cover with prayer. And the other thing was being aligned, with my wife. It's a long trip, and I wanted her permission to
go. Was that 10 days?
This one was 11 days. The one last year was 15 days.
And 15 days is a long time.
It's a long mission trip.
Yeah. I went to Kenya, Africa some years ago, 1999, and out in the bush for 2 weeks. And man, I was missing my wife and family, something fierce. And, I was talking to another guy on that mission trip, Mike, and every time I go on a mission trip like that that's some distance, it's just confirmation to my own soul that God has called me here to America. And one of my good friends was on our staff for many, many years, Dwayne Mitchell. He and his wife, Betty, they were called to Africa. And so their heart was there. So when they were on a quote-unquote mission trip, it's like, this is what God has called me to do. And so they were not just longing to come back to the States. They were longing to stay there. And, God calls, he calls us to different places. He calls us to different ministries. And so we follow the Lord, as Henry Blackaby said. You find where God is working and you join him, and God doesn't have everybody come to the same place. He calls us to different places. I'm working here. And so it is a challenge, but man, it will stretch your faith. It will grow your faith. Just as Mike, you were saying, it takes prayer, it takes preparation, it takes people supporting you. I would imagine that there's a sense of, well, who am I, oh Lord, that I can do this? I mean, I'm talking to these pastors that, they probably know more than I do, and I don't understand their culture, and I don't speak their language. And I guess, are you speaking through an interpreter, or they speak English?
Yeah, no, it's a few speak English. All the teaching is done through an interpreter, and what you shared is exactly right. And that's why a team is so vital. Because of the attacks, of Satan are going to happen. You basically put a bullseye on you when you decide to go on this mission trip. And I wrestled with all of those doubts and anxieties and even fears. And God used that to stretch me and build my faith and my prayer life. And, my wife prayed over me and many others did as well. So, but, back to the Great Commission, Jesus says to go. He doesn't say, this is, you go if you're a pastor.
Right.
You go if you're an elder.
Go if you feel it.
If you're feeling led. This is if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, then we're to go. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not like, well, that's not who I am. Well, this is who you are.
Right. Yeah, so God calls us to go. Now, not everybody is able to go to on a long trip like that, or maybe even a short mission trip, but you can pray, you can be a part, you can give, you can support. And so it takes all of us to do that. And so Mike didn't go by himself. He went with a team that was all a part of this trip. Now, he was the spokesperson. He was the physical presence there along with the other two guys. But it was more than just himself there. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking with my good friend, Mike Lurch. Mike lives in Georgetown, Texas. He and I went to middle school and high school together. We played basketball together. Mike is an excellent basketball player. He played basketball in college. I was not as sought after after high school to play college basketball, but man, we have had great times together. I became a Christian when I was 17, and the Lord used my life to influence Mike, and Mike gave his heart to Christ when he was in college, and the Lord has done great and mighty things in him and through him. He's a husband, a father, a grandfather with two granddaughters and four kids, and so it's a joy to have him in the studio. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it?
My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend, lifetime friend, Mike Lurch, and talking about going and fulfilling the Great Commission. As Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. How do we do this? Well, Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. The Lord is with us through his Spirit to give us power to do those things, to share him, and to share him with in a hostile world that is rejecting Christ. You know, we shine the light, John chapter 3. This is the witness that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil does not come to the light, and he hates the light, and he does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who comes to the light, he responds to the Lord, and he sees that his deeds have been wrought in God, as the scripture says. And so we have that opportunity, and the Lord has given it to us. I think I butchered that verse. I was going by memory. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Well, Mike, you were saying at the break about your trip and what you wanted to add into that.
Yeah, there were just some things specifically when you're talking about when doubt comes and we're attacked, like the end of that verse that you've read, Matthew 28:19, toward the end, it says, and remember, I am with you always. Like, that cannot be overstated.
Right.
Because to remember that Jesus has called us to go, he is with us always, and he's there. Because I had those doubts when I was doing my teaching, like, what am I doing here? Am I being effective for the Lord through the interpreter? And then I get a message back from one of the pastors that says, hello, Elder Mick. He called me Elder Mick. Just a word of thank you is not enough for what you all are doing for us. It's such a wonderful and blessed time. I could learn many new things and be excited to teach and apply in my life and congregation as well.
Yeah.
There was another man who had to be at least 80 or 90 years old, and through an interpreter, through the breakout groups, he said, as a result of God speaking through you all, I now know I'm called to be on mission in my village and share the gospel of Jesus with the Hindus around me.
Oh, wow.
So those things, it's like, just be the vessel and let God and the Holy Spirit fill you up and overflow, and let him do the work.
Yeah.
It's just amazing.
You know, one of the things I've noticed, and I've gone on a number of mission trips in my life, but I remember one when I went to Venezuela. You know, I don't know Spanish, and so we wrote out our testimony in Spanish, and, you know, you try and read it to the people. I mean, you sound like C-Spot Run because you don't pronounce things right or whatever. But our purpose for being there, we were going door-to-door witnessing. Our purpose for being there was just, we're almost like a novelty to these people, because it's not like they see white people all the time. And so they see us and they're like, okay, I'll listen. I mean, I told Mike, when I was in Africa, I used the same verbiage when we'd go village to village. I would tell them how much money I spent to get to see them. I said, I came all this way, so many miles, because they're not used to planes, so they're used to walking everywhere. So when you tell them the distance in kilometers, they'd be like, you came that far? Mm-hmm. That's a long walk. Mm-hmm. You know, they think mm-hmm. like that. And then you spent how much money in Kenyan shillings to get the airplane ticket? Well, I must, as one person said, well, this must be very important. I must listen. Mm-hmm. And it was a great opportunity. And then you're speaking through an interpreter. So you mm-hmm. don't really know what's being said. You know what you're saying, but you don't know what they're saying you're saying.
Yeah. And kind of as a sidebar, I call it an outtake. Like I would share things, you know, through the interpreter and, you know, talk about Moses, and I'd say, hey, you know, Jay with me, he's about as old as Moses, and no one laughed. Everyone just looked. And I asked the interpreter, I'm like, did you say that correctly? That's supposed to be funny. He goes, yes. I'm like, okay, never mind.
Let's humor just doesn't, it doesn't translate.
Doesn't land there.
Yeah, they don't know what you're talking about. I heard about one interpreter. He was interpreting for somebody, and the guy was telling a joke, and so the interpreter just said, he's telling a joke, you're not... that I'll just tell you when to laugh. So,
yeah, that's good.
Well, we just want to encourage you today, every listener. You know, you might say, well, but I can't go. The scripture says, go and make disciples. I'm not in a place to really go. And as we said in the first segment, but you can be a part of a team. And so you might not be the person going, but you're supporting that person.
You can do it that way, or you can go across the street and help someone do their yard, you know, and let your light shine that way so they can praise your Father, as the right. scripture says, you know. Melissa and I went out to eat last week. It happened to be Taco Tuesday, uh-huh. and we were in line. And in line, as we're standing, we see a lady walk up with a vest. And on her vest, the front says, I love Jesus. And on the back, it says, Mobile Prayer Warrior. Want prayer? Ask me.
Oh, wow.
And the lady next to us said, hey, I like your vest. She goes, oh, and turned around, grabbed both of her hands and said, how can I pray for you right now?
Wow.
And prayed for her right now. The lady in the vest was on mission.
Yeah. That is cool. That's a cool idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
Yeah. Okay, so say that again. She had a vest.
She was wearing a vest, and on her vest, she had a pendant that said, I love Jesus. And on the back, it said, Mobile Prayer Warrior. And then there was a question.
Did she have that stitched in?
Stitched on the back of her vest, uh-huh. Mobile Prayer Warrior. Then it said, Want prayer? Ask me.
Oh, wow.
And the lady, after she prayed with her, the lady turned and looked at us. She goes, I didn't know she was going to pray for me.
You know, that's something that I've encouraged people to do. I got this from Ada Ferguson, who's in heaven now. She was our counselor on staff. But she would just say, you know, at restaurants, just ask the server, you know, hey, when our food comes, we're going to pray over our meal. Is there anything I can pray for you about? And that's a very non-threatening way to start a conversation about the Lord. And sometimes, I've done it for years, and sometimes the people will be like, no, I'm fine. Sometimes they'll give some crazy, you know, pray for my dog. But other times, Mike, I had one time where I asked this lady that, and she said, well, pray for me because in the last 6 months, I've lost 2 children. Mm. And I couldn't believe it. Mm. She had one little child drowned, mm-hmm. and one died of SIDS. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't believe she was able to stand up and function, yeah. you know. But I just got up and hugged her and mm-hmm. prayed for her, and she started coming to our church. And then Ada, who mm-hmm. is the one that taught me this, she was able to lead her to Christ.
Mm, that's beautiful.
So it's amazing. That it's just that one question.
Right, and it's that one question, and then in addition to add that last part, how can I pray for you right now? Uh-huh. Like that puts action to what uh-huh. we're going to do.
Yeah, very good.
That's very powerful.
Well, we want to encourage you in this mission that the Lord has put us on as believers in Jesus to go and share, go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you. So we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I got to ask, Randy, are we, I know you guys are, well, you're in the studio, or are you in Alabama? Okay, so we can take calls? Okay, very good. So I didn't know, I know they're remote there with the AFA retreat. So give us a call, 888-589-8840. If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience you had on a mission trip, whether it was a mission across the street or a mission across the sea. And, you know, not every, let's just be honest, not every encounter is, you know, is a positive, hey, this person was so open, their hearts were ready to receive Christ. No, it's not like that. We share the gospel. We leave the results with God. We pray for that person. But, you know, I planted, Apollos watered, but God caused the growth, and it's the Lord's work. And so what you'll find is you might be the first link in the chain. There's a chain of salvation. Mm. And so you shared with this person, and then someone else shared with this person maybe a month later or maybe a year or two later, and then this person. And finally, it's the last guy that shares Christ, and the person says, you know, the Lord has been working on my heart, and he prays to receive Christ. Well, who led him to Christ? It wasn't necessarily that guy. It was all these people that were involved. That's why we are just called to shine and share, leave the results with God. We'll find out in the end, when all is said and done, at the end of it all, we'll see all that God did in and through our lives. As we're tested, we'll find out what was gold, silver, and precious stone, and what was just wood, hay, and straw. When you share Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, he uses that. And, you know, Isaiah 55, for as the rain and snow fall down from heaven and did not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, the Lord says, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. And so as we leave people with a verse of Scripture, God will use that. Well, we have Herb on the line from Arkansas. Herb, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. First time to try to call in, but Brother
All right.
Mike, I was just going to share that several years ago, well, it's been about 18, I married a woman from India, and been blessed to get to go over there about seven times now, and it's kind of been a unique situation because I got to do some home ministry as well, and, you know, and just myself with our family, you know, and week later had a daughter, and she's gone about five times as well. But just been blessed to see, you know, several hundreds come to know the Lord. And I kind of want to share the home ministries there. And my wife's from Pune, which is about 3 hours away from Mumbai. So we're in that region. And one of the home meetings I got to go to, there was a Hindu lady there, and she got saved, praise the Lord. And her husband, and one of the requests that they had at that time was they had been barren for years, and got to pray for her. And this was earlier in the meeting. So when we go, we usually stay about a month or so. And so This was at the beginning of one of the meetings. And before we left, we got a phone call saying that they were pregnant and expecting. So, So they had a blessed little boy, and about a year or two later, when we got back, got to meet him and hold him and share in some more meetings. And now he's grown up. He's in young elementary, and he's telling the bus driver on there, don't listen to that music. You need to listen to God's music. So he's already been a blessing. And they've opened their home to meetings, and they have seen several come to know the Lord and as a couple. And it's just, you know, it's just so encouraging what God can do.
Amen.
Never seems to amaze me.
Yeah, praise the Lord. You know, it's a great thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I just said, you know, when we take that step of faith, because as you know, Mike, as you were sharing, you're scared to do that. Who am I to do this? It's when we take that step of faith, we see God show up and use us.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, Herb. We had the honor to go into a number of house churches that were extremely difficult travel. But once we were there, I'm talking about house churches of 15 people, and just the honor to share my testimony there and for us to praise the Lord together. And it just shows that Jesus is for all the nations, you know, and it's just so encouraging to see that.
Right. Yeah, I think we can, you know, in America, we get tunnel vision and we just think of Jesus as an American savior. He's the savior of the world. Mm-hmm. And he cares about people from, you know, the guttermost to the uttermost. And the Lord wants to save. You know, John chapter 4, that's where it's first said that Jesus, we know that this is the savior of the world. They spoke that in Samaria where there were Jewish half-breeds. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And that's where those people responded to Jesus like crazy through the witness of a very unlikely person, the woman who had been married 5 times and the person she was living with was not her husband. You know, Jesus, you know, called her out on that. But she was the one that God used to reach that city of Sychar for the Lord. So it's exciting. Well, Herb, hey, thank you so much for calling in, and for this being your first time to call in. We appreciate it greatly, and thank you for listening to the program. Well, the number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We're talking about the Great Commission. We're talking about going and sharing and being the witness that God has called us to be. And you don't have to go on a mission trip halfway across the world to do that, to be the witness God called you to be. You just need to be faithful where you are and be open. Lord, where do you want me to go? And when mission trips, you hear about those in your church, really pray through that and take that step of faith. Don't let fear keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Well, we have just a minute before the break, but let's start with our conversation with Leanne. Leanne from North Carolina, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey there. I just wanted to let you know, I just got back from a mission trip, 3-week mission trip to Bangladesh and India. And I just wanted to let you know how I concur with everything you're saying, how Satan will attack you, will keep you from wanting to do the things or to obey him to do and go. But God used us in amazing ways over there, and I just encourage, if you have it on your heart, if God has put that on your heart, don't disobey. Get in that plane and go, because you will be blessed. You think you're going over there to bless people, and you're the one that comes back with the blessing.
Amen.
Amen. That is so true. Every mission trip I've ever gone on. Well, thanks, Leanne. That's a great word. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my good friend Mike Lurch. We're talking about the Great Commission. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, along with my good friend Mike Lurch. We're talking about the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. Such a great promise from the Lord Jesus. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Would love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment. And we have Suzanne on the line from North Carolina. Suzanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Yes.
I just want to encourage people that when we answer the call, like even to short-term missions, which is what I did in 1998. I went on a short-term 10-week trip to Romania and ended up staying 10 years. And if
wow.
God had told me that in the beginning, I probably wouldn't. I probably wouldn't have gone. But that ministry still goes on today with people on the ground there. And God leapfrogged us into South Sudan with people we knew from Romania. We have a school there. Our focus is kids. And we've also started a work in India with a local pastor there. So God truly can do more than we can think of or imagine. But when we step out, we don't have to know the whole plan.
Yes.
God is so good.
Amen. Amen. That is so true.
Us.
Yeah. Great testimony,
Suzanne.
Just
to have the peace and trust to step out.
Exactly. Now, Mike, that was, you know, you had to take that step out of the boat. You can't walk on water if you don't get out of the boat.
And you, just like Suzanne, you know, God's using her message for someone who's listening now. I had to hear that message and that testimony from someone else as well. I wrote down Psalm 105:1 says, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the people. Uh-huh. And to hear, like Suzanne, testify of God's, you know, great works and how good he is, and to see it is just amazing. And, you know, just to come back and tell that story, and God has used that in me to increase my faith and get me more on mission locally with those around me in my office to share the gospel with someone in my office as well.
Yeah. So, amen. Well, Suzanne, how long have you been back? She might not be there anymore. Well, thank you, Suzanne, for calling in, and God bless you, and thank you for your work, just taking that step of faith and letting the Lord use you. So God bless you. We have Nick on the line from Texas. Nick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
How you doing, Pastor Shreve? This is your lawyer buddy in Dallas who called you about a year ago and told you how good looking I was. And told you about the lady at Whole Foods Market who told me that if you're looking at all at someone's looks for a marriage partner, that you are spiritually immature. I don't know if you remember that conversation.
I do remember that.
You know, it's weird because we lost connection and I didn't hear anything that you answered, but I have it on recorder somewhere, so I'm going to go back and listen. But anyway, as to the subject today, something that I have been trying to get around to doing, I'm a little bit injured and I've got a really sick dog, but I haven't gotten it done yet. But just make up your own little track that you can carry with you with your little brief testimony. And, you know, I run into people all the time. I tend to talk to people just at random in the grocery store. And, you know, you can either mention, you know, the gospel to them and say, hey, I've got something here I want you to read. Or if you have a conversation with them just in general, you can say, hey, I've got this little thing written up about something you might be interested in, and just leave it with them. Just type it up on a piece of paper and keep a few of them folded up and hand it to them. And, you know, in my case, I tell them I'm an attorney and give them my email and say, if you ever have a question about salvation, just shoot me an email or give me a call.
Yeah, very good. It doesn't have to be super complicated. Sometimes I think we overcomplicate it. We get the idea that, well, I don't know enough. You know, I've never been to seminary. And you don't have to be a seminarian to witness. You don't have to, you know, you just share what the Lord has done for you. That's what the Gadarene demoniac was told by Jesus. Hey, just go and tell what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you. And so our testimony of a changed life and the Lord's grace is what we share. Now, it's wonderful when you have an expert, you know, Nick, getting into the legal world, when you have witnesses and then you have expert witnesses. And an expert witness is going to know a lot about a particular subject, but just a witness, he tells what he's seen and what he's heard and what he has experienced. And so that's the bulk of us. We're just witnesses for Christ, and we grow. We have to spend time in the Word of God so that we can grow and be a more knowledgeable witness. But I think we do complicate it a lot of the time. Well, God bless you, my brother. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. And I do remember that comment. That was fun.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Well, we have a special guest on the line from Texas, Mike's brother and my good friend, Darcy Lurch. And so, Darcy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I really love you guys, and I love your show. And anyway, I'm not a multitasker. I happen to take my three medication pills one at a time. So anyway, just a comment on the Great Commission, on how the disciples, how they must have been so scared to take that first step. But after Peter took that first step, and he had that great commission as far as his discipling, he just took off and flew. And similar to my story as far as before I was saved. I just did not, I was saved, and then I said, well, I wasn't really saved. And about 10 years later, which was when I emotionally gave my heart to Christ, and from all the discipling that you guys did for us. So I'm sitting here rambling, but I just wanted to give a prayers to our brother Darren Frazier, who is in the hospital, and we just want to lift him up because he's been going through a tough time, and he was saved 10 years ago this week, and he overcome alcoholism. So with the help of the Lord and the Spirit that's running through him and running through all of us today, I just want to give a shout out to anybody who wants to step up and have the Lord and raise the Lord's flag for others and share and shine for others.
Amen.
Anyway,
amen.
Good job, guys.
Hey, thanks, Darcy. Very good. Appreciate you calling in. Thank you for being such an encouragement to me personally, and I know to Mike. And you're a great big brother, so appreciate you greatly. Well, we have another special guest, and this is somebody that's very near and dear to Mike's heart, his daughter Lauren. Lauren, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Lauren.
Thank you. Hi, Dad. I'm here with your granddaughters, Cora and Ellie, and we just want to thank you for the way that you share the gospel with them and how you have shared the gospel with me. And it just not only you going to India and sharing Jesus with others, but it influences me as a mother to share Jesus with my girls. And so I just wanted to thank you and also Jeff for sharing gospel with my dad and how it just is so beautiful, how it has influenced me and now influencing my daughters. So just so, so grateful. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Ellie. That's call of the day right there.
Yeah. Lauren, how are you doing with two little girls? They can run you ragged, can't they?
Oh, man. we are still in our jammies. We are rocking it today, you know, just thanking the Lord for sustaining me daily. And there's just so much laughter and joy all along the way. And just so amazing how he grows me through them and my patience and just letting go of my idol of control as well. So it's yes. Amazing.
Yes.
You're an amazing mom. You are great.
Oh. Amen. Amen. Well, Lauren, I hope to get to see you sometime and meet your girls because see pictures of them and stuff. It's just gorgeous.
We'd love that. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling in. Well, we have Rob on the line from Tennessee. Rob, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, good morning, Pastor Jeff. I listen to you pretty much every day, so you're my other pastor.
Well, thank you, brother.
Listen, I just want to tell you a story briefly. I retired from teaching about 4 years ago, and I started going. I've got a close friend who's been doing mission work in Central and South America for about 20 years, and he'd kept after me to go. And I, after retirement, I said, yeah, started going. And so I've been about going, we've been 7 times and stayed anywhere from a week to a month. And I can't tell you how all of the ways that God has used our team. We'll take 6 or sometimes 15 people. We speak in churches, put on crusades, but we have also developed a feeding ministry where we feed a couple of hundred children twice a week. We've got a small school under construction, and now we've started going into Guatemala and working with an orphanage down there. And the most heartwarming part is the relationships that we've built, the people that we stay in constant contact with now who live over there. Our Spanish is getting better, and so we translate and we talk back and forth, but we support certain ones financially. We have personal relationships. We have some pastors that are in prison down there now, and we have a network of intercessors here that are praying, and we're trying to work governmentally to to see if we can help them. So just a whole network of opportunities that's developed. And so, and God
Rob,
is a, you know, I'm not a great preacher. I'm a teacher, but anyway, that's it. I know.
Let me ask you. So the pastors are in prison for preaching the gospel or for something else?
Yes. There's 11 pastors that were arrested by the government in Nicaragua. It's been on some, Tony Perkins and others have carried the story. They were putting on some huge crusades working with a group out of the U.S., but they were arrested by the government for money laundering, where the charges, which is pretty ridiculous because the government has their hand on everything they do. They report all their financial dealings, and yet they were drawing tens and even hundreds of thousands of people to their meetings.
Wow.
And apparently it made people uncomfortable. So now they've arrested them as of December 17th. They're still in prison. They haven't seen their families. And they've been charged with money laundering. I think they call it, they're saying it's organized crime.
Goodness.
And so there's still resolutions. And, you know, the U.S. government and U.K. and some other people are still working on their behalf, but man, it's a dire situation. One of the pastors who is imprisoned is a dear friend of ours that we work with every time we go, and we stay in his home. And now his family, his church, there's a chance that they may confiscate his church. I mean, it's just
good
crazy
night.
Stuff.
Yeah.
And so much prayer is needed. If anybody wanted to look that up, I think you could just Google Nicaraguan pastors in prison, and they could find that article.
And Rob, these are solid guys. These aren't prosperity guys that are fleecing the flock.
No, sir. No,
yeah.
Sir. These are poor pastors. These are poor men. We've lived with them. We've stayed in their homes, and you know. I mean, I can't say. I guess it's impossible to say. Did anybody handle any money? I couldn't say that for sure. But as far as I know, the integrity of several of these men, and my pastor here has worked with one of them for about 12 years, and we love him dearly. He's not. It's not like that at all. They're preaching the gospel. They're seeing thousands come to the Lord.
Yeah.
And no prosperity stuff. No, sir, not like that.
Rob, what's his name? The one that you're talking about?
His name is Pastor Alvaro Escobar.
Okay. And along, how many others are with him?
There's 10 others.
Wow. Okay. And
yeah, and he has a wife, Caroline, a family there in Managua, and a beautiful church, but it's a huge hit against the body of Christ. You think about it, it's 11 pastors, so it's 11 different churches
right. That
have been just devastated. So,
yeah. Well, I appreciate you bringing that to our attention, and we just have another 30 seconds or so, but let me pray right now, Rob. Lord Jesus, we just intercede on behalf of these 11 guys, and we ask you to just encourage them. We ask you, Lord, to protect them. We ask you to protect their families and their churches. And Lord, that you would just bring to an end all these false charges against them, and that they would be released very soon. And Lord, that you would use what the devil meant for evil, you would turn it to good. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for listening to Real Truth for today. I look forward to being with you again on Monday. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.